Now, Yen Tu was one of the great Chan masters of China. He was said to have had a backbone of iron. Really, you can imagine, backbone of iron. He was strong and powerful and a rare adept. It was said that he could cut through the false views and bring people to awakening in just a word. Just a word would do it if the monk was sufficiently tuned up. But Yen Tu lived in a time of great disturbance in China. Armies of bandits were marching around, looting monasteries. It was a time of anarchy. They would loot monasteries and they'd kill anyone who stood in their way, anyone who wouldn't give them tribute, wouldn't give them money. If monks, you know, monasteries wouldn't cough up, that was it. They were just cut down. The monks were cut down. And one day a band of brigands came to Yen Tu's monastery and all the monks, all his disciples just ran for it. When they saw the armies coming, they were just out the door and they were running. And who can blame them? But Yen Tu would not move. He just sat still, steady in the zendo, in the shrine room, the meditation hall, eyes looking straight ahead, just sitting in meditation with that backbone of iron, completely absorbed in his practice. He wasn't going to move for anybody. So he just sat, and the bandits, very rough, ugly, merciless men, just surrounded him with their swords and knives and spears and axes. Where are our gifts, priest? Where's our payment? Where's our tribute? And they just hustled around him, pushing, shoving, insulting him. And Yen Tu just did not move, didn't speak, didn't acknowledge them. This was his place. This was his practice. And then, of course, the blows just started to rain in. The blade started to come down. The slashing, the cutting, the piercing. And he just sat silent and still as he was cut down. And suddenly he just shouted a great "Ka!" which was heard for miles around, and died. For Harquin, this was a truly terrible story. There was absolutely no romance in this story for him. It was just completely terrible. There was no glory in this as far as he was concerned. He just saw this old monk, this great enlightened man apparently, who'd practiced so hard, just being cut down by bandits in a deserted temple, in a deserted monastery, who just smashed the place up. He just heard, not a great shout, but a screaming in terrible pain. And Harquin just lost all faith in Zen practice. He said, if a great virtuous monk like that can suffer so, what's in store for me? What's going to happen to me? Surely there is nothing more worthless than a Buddhist monk. He gave up Buddhism and decided to devote himself to the study of Confucianism, Taoism, and he was a pretty good calligrapher and poet, so he took up calligraphy and poetry. And he went off to the great master of calligraphy, Master Bao, who was a great teacher, a teacher who I really admire. He was so strict that everybody left, except Harquin. I think that's a sign of a great teacher. I really think that's great. You're so, so strong and good. You're not trying to please anybody and they all leave you. It's great. But Harquin didn't. And there's some quite touching moments when Master Bao is sick. Harquin just stays and tends him. But eventually he had another great crisis because he realised, well, I'm never going to be one of the great poets. I'll be nothing like Li Po and Tu Fu. I'll never be a great calligrapher. Although, actually, Harquin is regarded as one of the great Japanese calligraphers and poets. But he thought, I'm never going to be one of the greats. And this led to just piled on the crisis again. And it led him back to getting to grips with the burning question of birth and death, of life. What is it all about? Again, he was being pressed up against the cliff face.